Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, we have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Steve's on the phone with us this week. How are you, Steve?
We're suffering through the summertime temperatures, 100 plus all across the state. But anytime I feel like it's too hot, I look at Arizona. Today in Arizona, it was 120 in Phoenix. So I feel like we're under the air conditioning when I'm outside here.
Yeah, it's 105 in the Albuquerque metro. So yeah, lots of stuff going on. And first, we do want to talk about the tragic shooting of that Alamogordo police officer.
Yeah, on July the 16th. Officers in Alamogordo pulled over a car. It was in the early morning hours. The car had no headlights or taillights. So when they stopped it, or tried to stop it, the driver ran into a tree. I don't know if he couldn't see with no lights. But he jumped out and started running, and the two officers pursued on foot. At some point, he pulled a sawed-off shotgun out of his coat, turned around, and shot one of the officers in the face. For a while, the officer survived, but he has since passed away from his injuries. And the suspect was shot in the leg by the other officer. They eventually captured him. But he was out awaiting trial. And so this soft-on-crime-all-the-time governor that we have is making things extremely unsafe here in the state. Meanwhile, while that's going on, Albuquerque is on track to set another record for homicides. They passed their 80th murder in the city just this week. And just another shameful report that comes out that New Mexico is soft on crime. So while you have that going on, and again, over the weekend, you had a couple that were trafficking folks. They had a trailer pulling it behind their car, their truck. It had humans in it, so human smuggling operation. Again, they got in a shootout with the police. One of the suspects was killed. The other one was injured. So it's just dangerous to be in New Mexico. And the governor seems completely incapable or undesirous of changing it. No significant laws were passed during the last legislative session or during the 4 years that she's been governor before this session. And so New Mexicans just have to suffer the penalty of living here and knowing that they're at risk of being involved in some crime in each year that they're here.
And speaking of the governor, she came out this week. For some reason, she came to Rio Rancho to do this, where they're looking to install a huge compressed natural gas facility here. But she decided to come to Rio Rancho and announce that she wants zero emission vehicles, 43% sold in the state of New Mexico by 2027, and I think 84% by 2032. I don't understand why they mandate this. Why don't they let people decide? If people wanted them, they'd buy them.
Well, they mandate it because people would not buy them. Number one, they don't make sense. Number two, in New Mexico, long distances to commute, long distances to drive to work, take kids to school, and these things don't run that far. Then you have to charge, sometimes taking up to 8 hours to charge them. In New Mexico, people don't have 8 hours to shut down and wait for a car to charge so they can go ahead and get to the other side of the state. So her idea to mandate is because she knows that people will not choose it because it's a bad idea. That's the reason that they have to make it a forced issue. They're going to force people to do that. Now, if you think we got blackout problems now, just wait till everybody has to start charging vehicles and you'll see just how little actual electrical generating capacity that we have. While she's mandating this, she shut down the Four Corners Generating Station, which put a lot of power out, claiming that it was old technology. Well, it had actually converted over to clean coal, provided $100,000 a year jobs to Navajo miners. It also provided electricity to a lot of the people in the state. So now we're going to have less electrical power, greater demands for all of her electrical vehicles if she gets her way. And it's overall going to spell bad news for New Mexicans.
Here's a story from last February from KOB4's Eyewitness News.
It all has to do with a coal power plant that the state's trying to shut down. But will everyone get on board with the plan? Griffin Rushton has a look at the latest last-ditch effort because, Griffin, the possibility of rolling blackouts this summer is a real one.
Yeah, that's right, Ryan. PNM says projects meant to replace the energy produced from the San Juan Generating Station, well, they're behind schedule. And now the utility is asking state regulators to keep part of the power plant open for an extra 3 months. And the clock is ticking to make a decision.
At this point, it's way past the point of pointing fingers, which is why we are proposing yet another solution to the PRC.
PNM is warning New Mexicans about potential blackouts this summer, all because of this coal-fired power plant in northwest New Mexico.
We've offered different plans to replace the coal-fired electricity that has been coming from San Juan Generating Station. We've offered different mixes of solar and battery and gas and every other renewable source. We just have to keep overcoming hurdles along the way as each plan is kind of getting shot down.
New Mexico's Energy Transition Act requires the facility be shut down by 2023. Last summer, PNM and state regulators agreed on a plan to instead generate energy from four new solar farms, but then an unexpected hurdle.
So what's complicating this current situation is these global supply chain issues that are delaying a lot of these replacement power projects.
PNM says one new solar farm could come online by April, nearly 6 months behind schedule. The other three projects are even further behind.
Would we be in this situation had we not had supply chain issues and these replacement power projects gone online? I don't think so.
PNM says keeping the San Juan station online will help prevent an energy shortage and those potential blackouts. But state regulators have to act fast because the coal mine that fuels the power plant is set to close March 26th. Regulators say they will work to avoid any blackouts, but admit the transition to clean energy will not be an easy one.
We all know the intermittent nature of renewable energy. The wind doesn't always blow, the sun doesn't always shine. And so these utilities need base load or firm power.
The New Mexico Supreme Court is asking why they shut down the San Juan Generating Station before they had replacement power for it.
Well, that was always a very bad plan. Any economy, any state, any city, any country knows what the electrical needs are. They know what the power needs are based on the number of kilowatt hours that companies use to produce an economy, to produce jobs. They know the usage by individuals. And so the idea that we could simply shut down one of the major sources of electrical power and not tell people where we're going to replace it from has resulted in the state and the PNM telling people that we're going to have blackouts, that get used to it. It's just going to be a common occurrence. And so bravo for the Supreme Court calling her hand on it and saying, hey, you can't just shut down things without having a replacement. That's the foolishness of the way the Democrats manage. They don't think about the unintended consequences. They just implement things because they sound good to their voter base. And just because things sound good doesn't mean that they're actual, that they're factual, that they actually work and that you can hold jobs and make a living while those crazy policies are introduced. And so we'll see where it goes from here. But she should have had some other source of power to replace that huge generating station that she shut down.
And to that real-world situation, my home here in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, we had two outages last week. One lasted for 2 hours. Now, I don't know if it's because there wasn't enough power or somebody ran into a power pole and knocked it out. I don't know the reason why it went off, but it's happened twice now in the last week. You can imagine when the power goes off and it's 105 degrees outside, gets uncomfortable real fast.
Yeah, and that's the number of deaths that actually occur. People who don't have the ability to get out of their homes when it gets so hot. Those things will basically go unreported. The governor will be not held responsible for any of those. But I will guarantee you that PNM has warned New Mexicans that they are going to face these blackouts or brownouts. Maybe yours were caused by a lack of power. Maybe it was caused, like you said, by an interruption in the transmission. But even though that might have occurred some other way, PNM has warned that we can face that and know that there's just a shortage of electricity. The Democrats controlling the progressive legislature don't much care about the average citizen. They're willing to implement things that cause great pain. Being without electricity when it's 105 degrees outside is going to cause great pain.
Congresswoman Melanie Stansberry of the 1st Congressional District of New Mexico voted against funding the military. We'll talk about that and more in just a moment on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico as I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Now to our congresswoman from the 1st Congressional District of New Mexico, Melanie Stansbury. She voted no on the NDAA.
Yeah, National Defense Authorization Act, and it's what allows our military to operate. So when you have people representing New Mexico vote against that, New Mexico is one of the states that benefits the most from the military aspect. If you think only about the jobs, not about the national defense for a second, then New Mexico is one of the key locations of military facilities. And so the fact she votes against it is just unbelievable. But then when she talks about the hateful amendments that the GOP put out, shame on her.
You know, I have to say that this week was quite shocking. You know, New Mexico is a place that has a proud tradition of service. We have more active duty military and veterans than almost any state in the country per capita. And we have a long tradition of supporting the NDAA on a bipartisan basis. But over the last week, we watched as these hateful amendments got added. It included, you know, prohibitions on addressing women's health care and abortion of our active duty service members, anti-trans and LGBTQ measures, anti-diversity, anti-people of color measures. It's just absolutely shocking and also is a direct threat to our service members, their families, their livelihoods, and to our national security. And so, you know, this is the latest, apparently, battlefield in the culture wars of the GOP, but it's disgusting and shameful that they're using a historically bipartisan bill to do it.
We're supposed to be talking about defending the country, not about some social agenda to change the country and the makeup of the country. The military is here to defend us, and we should never forget that.
You saw the report that looks like they've approved an abortion pill that you can take now and be available over the counter. You don't even need a prescription. And there's some concern over children, 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds getting pregnant, getting this without their parents knowing about it. But this will really mess up the governor's and the progressives' plan to make New Mexico the abortion capital of the United States of America, because now you won't have to come here to get your abortion. You just go to your local market and pick up the pill and go home and take it, and you're done.
Yeah, what an irony that the governor visualized an economy driven by drugs and by abortion. So all of the people that she's permitted to grow marijuana, they made application and received the right to grow marijuana. How can they compete with the illegal marijuana that's grown that doesn't have to pay the 15 or 20% tax, ever how much that is? But now then, if this abortion pill is made available, then the second half of her growing economy, the travel to abortion sites in New Mexico, she may have wasted her $10 million that she's going to spend on opening that abortion clinic at the taxpayer expense.
I wanted to get your thoughts on the cocaine that was found in the White House. And now we just found out about this. And this happened apparently a year ago, where they found a couple of baggies of marijuana in the White House. This is supposed to be the safest place in the world. And yet somehow drugs are getting into the White House, secured part of the White House.
Yeah, not only did the drugs get in, but now then the investigation has been totally stopped. The FBI says, well, it's too difficult to figure out. If we can't keep cocaine out of the White House, how can we keep terrorists out who maybe are bringing in some sort of plastic explosive that could be smaller than the package of cocaine they found or the baggies of marijuana? This has really turned into just a national joke that the White House is claiming that they don't know, that they can't find it out. The FBI is saying the same thing. And at some point, they all lose credibility because it's just not that hard to figure out. One place to start might be a drug test. Another might be asking people who might have carried it in. I mean, you got a limited number of people who visit, not like it's open to the public. And you have to go through a long screening process. I've been into the White House multiple times. I've carried guests into the White House. You have to wait in a long line, then you have to go through metal detectors. If there's any suspicion, then they pat you down. You can't just walk in there and to say that somebody came into the West Wing and just left it laying out there on the counter. What happened to the security cameras? They say that, well, maybe the cameras weren't working or they weren't installed or they were pointed the other direction. I'm sorry, but that's not quite a good enough answer when you're talking about the White House of the United States of America.
Could it be that they know, but they don't want to know where it came from?
Well, there's evidence that maybe that is true. You remember that looking like, according to inside evidence, is now being turned over to the investigators, that the FBI knew all along what was on Hunter Biden's laptop, but it looks like maybe they derailed the investigation. It's also looking like that they knew Hillary Clinton had created this whole Steele dossier, and yet they went ahead and pushed that out to the public like it was true. And so these things cause you great pause when you're looking at the credibility of an institution that is supposed to be nonpartisan and is supposed to look at crimes committed, at things that threaten people. And when they say, whoops, 10 days and we can't figure it out, so sorry, public, and we'll do better next time, it turns, like I said, into a joke.
It's presumed that Senator Heinrich from New Mexico will run for governor of New Mexico since Michelle Lujan Grisham will term out in 2026. And apparently he's been using some campaign money on security for his house. This is the guy, by the way, that thinks we should have open borders, but wants security at his house.
Yeah, open borders, and he's in the party that supports defunding the police. And here he is saying, whoops, I got to spend $21,000 on securing my own home. That's the hypocrisy that we face from the left. They don't want anyone else to have guns, but they want the people protecting them to have guns. They don't want anyone else to have the police come to their aid. But when it comes to their safety, they want armed guards around them at all times. And now then $21,000 of donor money, this is money that was contributed to the senator to run for re-election or whatever. And so he spends it to kind of beef up security at his house. The rest of us don't get that permission and that freedom to do that. And that's one thing that makes people mad. They see that there are two sets of laws, one for elected officials, one for the rest of us.
I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. Are we heading for a war with Russia by supplying Ukraine with ammunition to kill Russians? Steve and I will talk about that and more after this on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. I'm talking with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, I want to get your thoughts on this United States authorizing these cluster bombs for Ukraine. Is this the start of World War III now, where we start providing bombs to kill Russians?
Well, that's one of the questions that's being asked, and it needs an answer before we pursue this. The cluster bombs have been used by the Russians, but now then for the U.S. to get in and make it possible to kill more Russians, it is going to definitely escalate the war. And a lot of people are concerned that we're moving steadily towards World War III. There's an element of the government that wants us to be in constant conflicts, no matter where that conflict is in the world. There's a lot of discussion about the military-industrial complex that literally was named that back in the 60s, and it is still alive and well and still recommending that we spend a lot of money arming the rest of the world. Meanwhile, Joe Biden lets slip or lets the public know on purpose that we're running out of ammunition in this country. He left billions of dollars of ammunition for ISIS when he just bailed out of Afghanistan with no thought and no process in mind. He left 13 soldiers there to be killed in the line of duty without saving them, and left a lot of Americans there. And now then, with all the equipment that we squandered, that we have given up, now the fact that we're running out of ammunition, number one, is not surprising. But I suspect also that you'd have to take a look at the authorization exemption for funds to be used to buy ammunition back on the first 2 years of the Biden administration to really assess why it is that we're running out of ammunition. But if we don't have the armament, if we don't have the personal protective gear, if we don't have the guns, if we don't have the ammunition, I've always been on the side that says get our kids out of the conflict and get them home. Don't put soldiers into harm's way without giving them every tool they need to stay safe. It's a difficult enough job being in the military without politicians like Joe Biden playing games and not providing ammunition.
And while we're talking about that, what are your thoughts on Ukraine becoming a member of NATO while this is going on?
Yeah, I agree with the concept that if it jumps into NATO, then that basically starts World War III. We've got that conflict going on, and by the rules of NATO, they have to support any of the members. And so I think that Trump is right. Day one, he says he could end that conflict. I think we need to end the conflict before we take any actions that would commit the rest of the world to supporting the Ukraine. I think that Trump is right. Get us out of that.
We know that President Biden had used the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to lower gas prices at the pump for us a year or so ago, and now I understand it's gone. There is no more.
Yeah, I was reading a report today that said that it's empty. These massive caverns underneath Louisiana and salt domes, and they take decades to fill those. The U.S. government is actually having to buy oil. So much of that oil was placed in there when the oil was $6 a barrel, $10 a barrel, $20 a barrel. And now then, anything we add is going to be $80 to $100 a barrel. And every barrel that we put in is going to drive the price of petroleum up. That will cause the cost of gas to go up to consumers. So anybody driving to work or grandparents driving to see grandkids, that's just going to be more expensive because Biden spent that petroleum reserve up. It was supposed to be here in times of national emergency when we had interruptions to the production of oil, either worldwide or in the U.S. And now then he's squandered it, sent a lot of it to China, and we haven't lessened the price of oil at all. Again, I think a very calculated move on a progressive president that wants to destroy the U.S.'s capability to provide energy. He wants the cost of energy to go up, the price of electricity, the price of driving cars. That's what socialists want. They want the working class people to be out of money where they're dependent on receiving cash from the government. That's the difference between Democrats and Republicans. My folks, when I grew up, were conservative Democrats. They would never sign on to be Democrats with this value system that the Democrat Party is representing today. And that's basically that socialism is going to be the path of the future. The free market is the best path to the future. The free market is where individuals are able to go out and make the maximum they can for their family. They can get the highest wage possible. They can move around from one job to the other. They've got choices. That's what the free market is about. Socialism curbs the number of companies, puts a lot of them under government control. Government never is able to manage companies very well. So jobs decrease, prosperity decreases. Socialism is a long downward spiral to poverty for an entire nation. Take a look at Cuba. Whenever the communists took over, communists and socialists are basically the same. When the communists took over under Castro, just before that, they were the third leading economy in the entire Western Hemisphere. And now they've been in the pits for decades with no jobs, no hope, no opportunity. I've talked recently with young people who still have family in Cuba. Maybe they have come here themselves to be the first generation away from Cuba, and they are aghast that Democrats are trying to make us the socialist capital of the world. They came here because of the opportunity, and now then they see the same thing that their grandparents saw in Cuba. They're seeing it happen here through their own eyes. And so you have to wonder at an entire political party that will put the concept of socialism as their highest agenda item to accomplish here in this country.
So the president has told the world that we're low on ammunition and that we have no strategic oil reserve. That puts us in a very dangerous place if we should have to get involved in a conflict.
It puts us in a very dangerous place. And also keep in mind that he's trying to kill the oil and gas industry. Number one, that kills jobs in New Mexico. But number two, it puts us really at risk. One of the things that Japan faced in World War II is that they had no internal supply of oil, and they were constantly scrambling to try to find it out. America, in contrast, was producing all of the oil that it could need and could use. And so the availability of energy during World War II became a huge part of the success that the Allies faced, and that freedom survived because we defeated the Axis, because we defeated Germany and Japan and Italy. And now here we are just arbitrarily giving up this supply of energy that has been so vast and is still vast in the U.S. It's just facing regulations that are trying to shut it down. And so one of the great fights between Republicans and Democrats is to ensure that we have affordable energy so families can live, but we also have affordable energy so that we can defend our country.
And so this goes to why at the end of every one of our Inside New Mexico programs, I give out the information for our listeners to look at what the Republican Party is all about and go to the website and go to the Facebook page and the things we've been talking about. Maybe you don't want an electric car by 2027. Maybe you want to have the choice. This is why you should consider looking at the Republicans who are running for office. These things won't happen if Republicans take control of New Mexico. You can buy an electric car if you want one. Republicans aren't going to take that away. It'll just be your choice. And the biggest issue on the electric cars, by the way, is the charging time. At best, you can quick charge at 80% charge, and it takes a half an hour. So are we going to turn all the gas stations into parking lots where you sit in your car and wait for it to charge? You know, this just isn't practical.
It's not practical. And again, we don't generate enough electricity right now. We certainly aren't going to generate enough if everybody has to be charging these vehicles. They take tremendous amounts of electric power. And without electricity being generated, then nothing is going to fit. Nothing's going to work. And that's also a trademark of socialist countries. The stuff that they put into law doesn't work. And so people have to go without. That's what's going to happen here.
So, folks, there is an alternative to the socialist agenda that Steve Pierce was talking about. And if you would like to find out more about it, check out the Republican Party of New Mexico. They have a website. It's newmexico.gop. There is a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is @NewMexicoGOP. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.